This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the show today. Half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. No question, the best, because they take care of all of the insurance needs and do everything they can to save you money. Well, you know what? There are certain shows you just can't wait to get in the studio because you know you've got a guest that's just not only a great friend, but just so smart, and that's my good friend Jerry Dulac. Jerry, it's great to hear you on the other end, my friend.
Well, Steve, likewise, and of course, it's been 4 days since I was extremely disappointed after that loss to Penn State. So I always look forward. I was telling someone yesterday, I said, I might end up asking Steve more questions than he asks me.
You ask away whenever you want. That's always fun.
That goal line, a failure, and then, of course, the kind of, quote, fluke interception in the end zone. I mean, they had their chances, and but they couldn't stop their run, and, you know, what can you say? You know, I hate to see it.
Right. That's what I told everybody. They said, what's the difference? Is they've got to find 6 yards, three in the first half and three in the fourth quarter.
That's exactly right.
So, Jerry, the Steelers, now the trade deadline's there, and they acquire Mike Williams from the Jets. You know, and if this were a couple of years ago, I think it'd be like, wow. Yet you feel like at this stage he's just another guy. What did they think he can add to their receiving core?
Well, it's a good point because I think with the Jets, he was just another guy. You know, 11 catches, 12 catches, whatever it was. He just didn't become the receiver they thought he would be. You know, they gave him a one-year deal for $10 million, my goodness gracious, which is why he was scheduled to visit the Steelers like a day or two later, but when the Jets offered him that, he jumped on it, and I don't blame him. But, yeah, he has not shown that he was the receiver that he was with the Chargers, and I don't think he's going to come in here and be any type of savior. But I think he helps their receiving core because he is a quality receiver so long as he shows he can, be somewhat what he used to be. A fifth-round pick seems like it could be a little high for him, given the way he played with the Jets. And when you see that DeAndre Hopkins went for a fifth-round pick. But nonetheless, I think it was a good pickup for them. And even though the price might be a pinch high, we'll see how he plays out. But at least what I see, Steve, is I see them bringing in, making two moves, and they're not standing pat. They didn't sit there and say, okay, we're 6-2, we're top of the division, we're doing okay. No, they sat there and said, look, we're 6-2, we're in this thing, let's make a couple moves to make sure we remain in this thing.
The schedule has been one thing that that certainly hasn't hurt getting to 6-2. But when you look at the remaining schedule, they've positioned themselves well. But from this point on, what are you seeing schedule-wise that the Steelers will have to fight to get to the finish line?
Well, Steve, you look at their three-game win streak to start the season. They were against teams who were 16-10 combined. You look at their current three-game win streak, it's against teams who were 7-21. Now, to their credit, they at least did what they didn't do last year, and that was beat up on the teams they should have beaten. If you go back to last year, they had that three-game skid against the bottom feeders of the league. So they've avoided that. But now here they head to the second half of the season, and four of the teams they're going to be facing are four of the teams with the best records in the league. The Chiefs at 8-0, the Eagles, the Ravens, and now the Commanders on Sunday. You know, probably the biggest upstart team in the league. So the schedule gets significantly more difficult. And but they position themselves. Let's say they go 4-5. Let's say they go 4-5 in the last nine games. Okay, right. That's 10 wins. Now maybe now you got your fingers crossed if you're going to get in. If you go 5-4, that's 11 wins. Chances are you're going to get in. I go back, Steve, I looked at this the other day. You'd have to go back to 2012 to find the last time Mike Tomlin's team finished with a losing record in the final nine games. So since then, they've been, you know, I don't know the exact record, but it's been well above 500 and I think up over 600 in their last nine games. So historically, the last nine games have been on their side. The only time they didn't have a winning record since 2012, I think it was 2021, and they were 4-4-1. Otherwise, they've had a winning record in their last nine games every year.
So when you look at Russell Wilson, he's now stepped in. Has he done anything just by being a veteran and being Russell Wilson that has allowed Arthur Smith to maybe be a little more creative as to what he does?
Absolutely. That has happened. And that's, we've already seen that in two games. They knew they were getting that with Russell Wilson. That's the reason why Stevie's a nine-time Pro Bowler and a Super Bowl winning quarterback. You know, he didn't get that way by accident. And so, yeah, it's not only more creative, it's more confident in what you're able to call and what you want to do. And I don't think it's any accident that the running game has flourished the last 2 weeks. Now, look, it's the running game statistically has been good. But a lot of that, too, was built with Justin Fields gaining 40, 50, 60 yards a game. Well, that's not happening the last two games, and it's helped the running game because now you have to be concerned about the passing game down the sideline, which Justin Fields would do, not with the accuracy that this guy has, but the check downs, the passes over the middle, the different options that Russell Wilson can bring you. You know, the pre-snap reads, look, they're not going to do anything that he hasn't seen in 13 years. So being aware of that is going to help the running game. And now, to Najee Harris's credit, Steve, it's the best I've seen him run in 4 years. He runs free, and according to Pat Freiermuth, our old Penn State guy, he runs happy. Pat's a good friend of his, and he says he's having fun out there. And he runs like he's having fun. It's not just the bullish runs where he moves the pile 15 yards. It's the breakaway runs. You know, he has 14, 20-yard runs since last year, since the beginning of last year. Only Derrick Henry in the league has more. So, you know, that's not a part of Najee Harris's game you expect to see, but that's what we're seeing. And he's been very, very good. Props to him. I give him a lot of credit.
Yeah, I do too. There's also something else with Wilson. I think that's an underrated thing because you and I have been around this a long time. There's some guys that just the way they throw the ball, it's an easier ball to catch.
No question.
Yeah, and I think that with Fields, where a lot of things to me will be fastballs, Wilson's ball has a little more change of pace to it. Is that fair, Jerry?
It's extremely fair. And you know, Steve, I was just saying this the other day about Baker Mayfield when I'm watching him. And as I'm watching the game, and I said to my wife, I said, he needs to learn pace on his ball. He's been around long enough. He just throws fastball after fastball, and you can't do that. And not only does Russell Wilson have that kind of touch, but he puts the ball where the guy is usually going to catch it in stride. The throw, the 43-yarder down the sideline the other night, last week, to George Pickens, and the 29-yard touchdown to Calvin Austin III couldn't have been more precisely thrown if they had a GPS system attached to them. They would just it led them perfectly on, you know, passes where you're running out of room. And to me, those were just illustrations of what Russell Wilson has always done and what he can do for his receivers. And, you know, Steve, you and I have talked about this before.
Yeah.
Great receivers don't make average quarterbacks better, but great quarterbacks make average receivers better.
Absolutely.
And that's what the Steelers, one, we're hoping to see, and two, are seeing with Russell Wilson.
Defensively, we know what T.J. Watt means. I mean, there's just no question. I mean, he's a separator from everybody else in the league. What are the dominoes, though, that you're seeing where other guys have the ability to really shine because he's getting so much attention?
Well, you know, with the injuries they have had at outside linebacker, I think getting Alex Highsmith. Certainly helps their cause and will certainly help him. And so there's no question when he's in there, you can't pay as much attention to T.J. Watt. And also, you know, they've been without Nick Herbig for the past three games, and then they just got Highsmith back. So when both of those guys were missing, now they could really devote a lot of attention to T.J. Watt. And his sack numbers are down, but that doesn't mean he's not disrupting the game, as we've seen with these strip sacks and fumble recoveries and punch-outs that he's had the last couple weeks. And that's how he not only can dominate the game and be a difference maker, but he influences the game so much just by his presence because of the attention they have to pay to him and always want to know where he is. And it's not like he's jumping all over the defense to figure out, okay, where's he lining? Occasionally he does. But for the most part, they know where he is, and they try to avoid him.
Yeah, because that brings me to the rest of it. We all know that since Ryan Shazier got hurt, they've been trying to get that linebacking situation solved with somebody. Do you feel like now they're at least as a group, they've done a good job of solving it, and what has Patrick Queen meant to helping them solve it?
Well, a big part, because Patrick Queen is the every down linebacker,
yeah,
who can sideline to sideline. And you're seeing the last couple games, now that he's comfortable with the defense, the calls, and the guys around him more especially, you're seeing what impact he can have. He covers that field, extraordinarily well. And now you throw in a guy like Peyton Wilson, who's a 4-4-3 guy who can run like the wind. And now this is a guy who, in second and third down situations, is an asset as well. So now you've put speed in there to go with a thumper like a Landon Roberts. So that linebacker crew across the board is as good as they've had in a long, long time, knock on wood. But I think Patrick Queen is that every down guy that through all their experiments, whether it's been the going back to the Mark Barons and drafting Devin Bush and all the other failures, the John Bostic, the one-year guys who came in, tried to fit in, and then they shipped them out. Not this guy. This is the guy who can be the stabilizer and a very, if not dominant player, certainly a very productive, disruptive player in the middle of the field, and that's why they went out and signed.
Joey Porter Jr. had a productive rookie season. Is he better this year, Jerry?
Yeah, he is, Steve. And they're, when I say they're using him different, they're not always having him shadow the other guy.
Yeah.
But they are flip-flopping him and using him in different defensive formations. But, and you can tell, like, when I say his tackling ability, it's the fact he's making more plays around the line of scrimmage, and there's no question he's been even better. Numbers wise, I'm not sure that it's any different, or certainly nothing that's sitting there, leading the league. Mm-hmm. But they're completely thrilled with the guy, and they have complete confidence in him. And yeah, he is definitely even better than he was toward the second half of last year.
I'll flip it back to offense for just a moment, because I thought in the off season, to me, a good pickup was a guy like Van Jefferson. I think not awesome and incredible, but I thought a good pickup. How well has he played?
Well, certainly he's looked better with Russell Wilson, as you can imagine. And I don't mean that as a knock necessarily against Justin Fields. It's just that's what happens when you have a quarterback like Russell Wilson. You know, if Van Jefferson was viewed as like, okay, a third or fourth receiver, people would think he's, you know, is a really good pickup.
Right.
But I don't think any expectation of bringing him in and being like a number two guy, I think that was just a bit unrealistic. But you can see with Russell Wilson what they were hoping to see in Van Jefferson. And we've seen that the past couple of games. And you could say the same thing for Calvin Austin. They've been more active and more involved in the offense with Russell Wilson. So now you bring in Mike Williams, and if he can, you know, we'll see what happens with him. You know, now you're looking at a receiving core, you know, that you have four guys that you can rotate in there. I don't think Roman Wilson is going to fit in at all this year, you know, the rookie from Michigan.
Right.
You know, injuries have just held him back. But I think that in part was one of the reasons why they signed Mike Williams. And I will tell you, you know, they were close to bringing in Christian Kirk too last week or 2 weeks ago until he suffered that season-ending injury, and there went that deal. But they thought they were going to get him, and so short of that, then they, again, it's why they went out and got Mike Williams.
Well, Washington ends up with the second overall pick in the draft, and they get Jalen Daniels. They're 7-2. So what will this tell us about the Steelers this weekend as they hit that game 9 and go past the halfway mark?
Steve, that's a good question, because I think this game is going to tell us a little bit more about the Steelers. Look, one game isn't going to change who and what they are, but I think the one game can tell you who and what they are, because now you're going on the road against an upstart team where there's a lot of excitement about. They're unbeaten at home. You know, they've been able to score a lot of points. You know, you see the Hail Mary. That's a pass 2 weeks ago. That's just another sign of kind of like the, quote, the magic that is happening with the Commanders. And teams could ride that just the way the Houston Texans did last year with C.J. Stroud. But I think going on the road, you know, and facing a team that is surging and facing a player who was probably hands down the rookie of the year. I think it's going to tell you, I don't want to say a lot about this football team, but it's going to tell you a little bit more about this football team. And I think it can be a significant game from that standpoint in terms of kind of deciding, okay, what are the Steelers? Are they a legitimate contender, and can this continue? Or are they going to be a team that's going to fight to be 10-7?
Always enjoyable to sit down and have great conversation with friends that know so much. Thank you so much for your time, Jerry, as always. Talk soon.
Well, you got it, Stephen. You know, I always look forward to chatting with you, my friend.
Thank you. The great Jerry Dulac. Always great to talk with him.
Good man.
All right, we'll come back. We'll come back with more in a moment, brought to you by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sun, ride with the sun.
I'm Kyle Mertz, and I am the sun. Let's see where Sunbury Motors can save you the most money in the small SUV segment. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has unbelievable finance rates that will save you thousands in interest payments. Choose from over 50 new Hyundai Tucson's with 0% financing for 48 months or 1.99% for 60 months. Sunbury Motors Ford has $4,000 off plus 0% APR for 36 months on 2024 Ford Escapes and $4,100 off plus 3.9% APR for 36 months on 2024 Ford Bronco Sports. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf has incredible savings on 2025 Kia Sportages. Save over $1,500 plus get 1.9% APR for 60 months on 24 in-stock Sportages to choose from. So, what's the takeaway here? Sunbury Motors will save you the most money on your next small SUV, whether you're interested in over 50 in-stock Hyundai Tucson's, Ford Escapes, or Bronco Sports, or a new Kia Sportage.
With his index fingers. Very impressive. What? That was a compliment. Penn State number six. Now, have you heard me one time talk about rankings?
No.
No.
Right. And every time rankings were brought up, what did I say? I said, it doesn't matter until the first college football playoff poll comes out. Then I'll talk about it. Well, there's six. Okay. Now they've got to go out and get the job done. I mean, they've got a game with Washington this week. Washington, by the way, is going to come in Friday. On all the other East Coast games, they have gone out Thursday. But because the game is at 8 o'clock, 5 o'clock Pacific, they're going to come in Friday. So they feel that that is more of a normal schedule for them. And they're going to fly into State College. And they're actually going to fly back out of Harrisburg. Again, way to the plane. That's why.
I'd love to know what UCLA's feeling is about flying in on Friday and playing that noon game after they've done it.
You know, it's just, I think everything depends on what your pattern is. I don't know. That's a good question. That's a good question. I don't know. And you know what? I thought for the most part they played, I thought UCLA actually played decently against Penn State, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I didn't see it as being an issue. I just,
yeah,
you know.
No, it's a good question. I agree with you.